Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th. Spectators can find event info such as start times, race routes, and where to watch, as well as volunteer opportunities at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, and today, starting the show a little differently, I'm outside walking along Gilbert Street in Iowa City, and let me tell you why. If you remember, and you were listening, just over a week ago here on River to River, we dedicated an hour of discussion to how the trade war is impacting our agricultural sector, our farmers, and the other ag-related businesses. Now, on that show, I spoke with an apple farmer in northeast Iowa who's lost tens of thousands of dollars due to the tariffs, also to a soybean farmer. Well, today, we want to take a look at how the trade war is affecting us as consumers, consumers of all kinds of things. A little later in the program, I'll talk to a vice president at Fairway Grocery Stores to see how the trade war has been impacting food prices we pay at the supermarket. But first, let's see how these tariffs have been changing prices on an everyday item. An item as American as apple pie. A bike. And that is why I'm here on Gilbert Street in Iowa City. Let's go into World of Bikes. So we're inside World of Bikes, and I see the owner, Ryan Baker. How are you doing, Ryan?
Good, Ben. Good seeing you. Welcome to the shop.
Ryan, I was here 2-3 weeks ago with my son, and we were shopping for a new bike, and I was looking at, let's see, these bikes, I think these are Trex, right?
Yes, they are. Yep.
Okay. So we were looking at these, and we were looking at the prices. You've always got sale prices and things like that, but we saw underneath the tags an earlier price and then a new price, and one of your employees told me, oh, that's, I don't know if the exact words, but that's the trade war. So tell me what's going on with bikes.
Okay, well, as a lot of goods made over in China, we've been affected by the tariffs that have been imposed on goods, and they're coming over from there. And so, you know, what we initially saw was bikes got hit first with these tariffs, and you know, this was back mid fall last year,
September, 2018.
Yeah, 2018, mm-hmm. Somewhere in the October time frame. But you know, the things that we've seen are, you know, have been several increases in pricing, you know, over the course of that year. You know, they started out to be very minimal pricing, and then it's been, you know, just kind of a, it seems like every few months we're getting notices that the prices are going up again and again. And I think a lot of it has to do with the progression of how products get to us from China.
Before we go to that, let me just look at, because we're looking at a bunch of bikes on the rack here, specifically where my son and I were looking. So here's a bike. This is a Trek for $439. Here's one, $439, $399, $629. You sell Trex. What other brands of bikes do you sell?
The other one would be Salsa Cycles.
Salsa. So how many of these bikes that you have, and you have, is it fair to say, a couple hundred bikes at least here?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
How many of these bikes are made in China with their components?
At the time that the tariff first was imposed, I would say 99% of them.
Okay. Almost everything.
Almost everything.
That you sell in terms of bikes, accessories from China. And when I asked here a couple weeks ago, it was like a $600 bike or a $700 bike. And to my recollection, that bike had increased in price by, could have been $100?
Very easily. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when someone buys a new bike now, it's $100 more than it was pre-tariffs.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's correct.
Okay. So give me some other examples. Let's walk around here and tell me about some products here that you've seen prices rise in.
Okay,
we're just going to walk around the store, see what kind of other bike-related products we have here. We know bikes have gone up.
The next, you know, as far as kind of big category things that we saw were tire prices, rubber. We saw, $25 tire go up to $30, you know, and again, $5 isn't that much money, but it's a 20% increase. So that was one of the biggest things. Other things that we saw noticeable changes on, your accessories like bags and rear racks and things, you know, that I see you use on a regular basis, riding your bike to work, you know, those things, we've seen again, increase 15 to 20%. Fortunately, we're not at the full 25% or more, in some cases that other people are seeing. But
okay, so you're hearing about other sectors of consumer goods where there's more dramatic increases?
Yeah, our biggest vendor, Trek Bicycles, has subsidized some of these tariffs, and so we haven't yet felt the full impact of the tariff pricing.
So Trek just said we're going to eat some of this loss.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. That's subsidizing. Okay, good. But other areas, it isn't true. Other makers don't do that.
Not to my knowledge. You know, our other Salsa bikes, we did not see any price increase during the model year, but it's because they don't replenish their bikes the way that Trek does. They usually are a front-loaded order, and so when they sell through their product, that's when they introduce new bikes, and then we saw the increases from a model year aspect from 2019 to 2020 product.
Okay. So do you know how much this – obviously consumers are paying more for bikes. Mm-hmm. How much this is affecting your bottom line?
Well –
I mean, if one would say statistically, if bikes prices increase, people buy fewer bikes.
That's the reasoning for this year. We definitely have seen fewer bike unit sales this year.
Oh, you have?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it's hard to say what that's from.
It's nearly impossible, because weather plays into those factors, obviously money does, and who knows what else. A lot of times going into elections, we start seeing people tightening up their checkbooks a little bit.
Really? Why would that be?
Just the uncertainty of the future.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Even with bikes?
Even with bikes.
All right. So let's get back to what you were getting into a couple minutes ago, mm-hmm. talking about your suppliers. Mm-hmm. You said before the tariffs, 99% of what you sell here, your estimation, was made in China. Mm-hmm. So that tells me something's going on with your suppliers. What is it since the tariffs have been imposed?
So our suppliers have started looking elsewhere to do their manufacturing. Trek has started having their bikes manufactured in Cambodia. That was almost an immediate change that we saw on select models, and now we're starting to see it a little more widespread. So they've tried to take matters into their own hands and not play the games of having to pay the tariffs and finding alternate locations to build their products.
So safer locations. Yep. But I didn't hear you say made in the USA.
Not made in the USA.
Not going to be? Would you guess?
I would guess not.
Just the labor costs are too high.
Labor costs are too high, yeah. And that's... You know, that's every time we go back and we ask about, when can we start seeing more products, not all, but more products being made back in the States. And the answer we always get is that the discrepancy in production costs is so much greater between in Asia or anywhere else, for that matter, to come back to the States. It's just not economically feasible.
Okay, I think I see a little bit, Ryan, of where this is headed based on what you've said, but spin this out into the present and into the future. What if this trade war goes on or worsens? How will your suppliers be reacting? How will you be reacting as a bike shop owner?
Well, it's a tough one. I mean, it's, from what our suppliers have said, they're going to continue to find, sources to try and minimize price impacts without, degrading any quality of their products. For us, you know, we're kind of caught in the middle on all of this. You know, the real unfortunate part of it is, you know, is that everything gets passed on to the end user. You know, we see the price impacts, the prices get raised at retail level, and then it goes right to, you know, to the guys that are using it on the streets. And so, you know, that's going to be, for us moving in, keeping that in mind, we're going to have to be more careful on what products that we're carrying, how deep we're going, what our price offerings are going to be, you know, how widespread of a product line that we can offer, you know, cherry picking lines to get the stuff that, you know, that we really see is beneficial. And then, you know, maybe this not having that wide selection that we've had for being able to have for years.
Now, Ryan, I noticed this when I came with my son to shop for a bike a few weeks ago. But, you know, I always have my antenna up for journalistic stories.
Yep.
Do other customers notice the rise in prices,
yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah, certainly they do.
What kind of comments have you heard?
Just similar comments to you, you know, just the, well, you know, it, mainly what we see is at the entry level that the prices, you know, at one time, you know, you could buy a brand new youth bike or adult bike for, you know, well under $400, $300 in some, you know, some cases. And now they're creeping up around, you know, that $100 price increase, you know, in a short order of time. You know, we'll see small increases from year to year, but, you know, to have that dramatic of an increase in a year, people are really starting to notice it.
Okay. Ryan Baker, thanks for giving us the view from your bike shop, World of Bikes. Full disclosure, World of Bikes is a supporter of Iowa Public Radio. Thank you for that, by the way.
You bet, Ben. We enjoy it.
Ryan Baker, World of Bikes owner on Gilbert Street in Iowa City. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, back in the studio now. So good to get out and to visit with Ryan Baker on this hour. If you've just joined us, we're talking about the trade war impact on consumer items, also manufacturing. In just a little while, we'll be talking with a representative of Fairway Stores to see how foods are common foods, everyday foods have been impacted. And it may surprise you the way that they've been impacted. But first of all, let's talk with Dave Swenson, economist at Iowa State University in our AIM studio. Hi, Dave.
Hello.
I want to talk to you about manufacturing because I know you've been looking into that, manufacturing in Iowa, the sector, how it's been impacted. But first of all, you were listening along to, as I went on my outing to the bike shop. I wonder what jumped out at you, what you found interesting.
Well, the part that's interesting is that there were immediate increases in consumer prices for specific kinds of items. Going back a ways, washing machines were first affected, and then other what are called durable goods, things that last more than 3 years, like bicycles or any other kind of recreational good or product that you might buy. Those are things that were likely to be made in China. Those are things that were affected immediately by the trade actions. As those actions became more, for lack of a better term, permanent last year, meaning that they were first proposed and then they were implemented, and then later on the tariffs were increased. All of that is resulting in a tax. The tariff basically is a tax that's paid by consumers who use these products. And I noted specifically that Ryan said that Trek was absorbing some of this cost. Other kinds of firms and other kinds of institutions and or instances can't absorb those costs. So more of those costs are passed through to the final user, and oftentimes the final user is going to be households. So this is a typical kind of story. So what we're getting right now for consumers is we have more of the effects are associated with these kinds of goods, appliances, tires, any of these kinds of durable kinds of products, sporting goods, those types of things. Proposed increases in tariffs, they haven't been increased and expanded yet, will move into what are called non-durable goods. And now we'll start tapping into toys and clothes and other kinds of things that we also depend on from China. And then that will broaden the scope of things that tariffs apply to, and it will broaden the reach of the tariffs to the average household. That in the case of Ryan there, that tariff doesn't affect me if I don't buy a bike. But down the road here, when you're buying shoes, when you're buying underwear, when you're buying shirts and any other kind of apparel, or whether you're, again, toys or other types of things, you're more likely to be affected by the tariff. So the cost of the tariffs to the average householder is going to increase if this tariff war continues.
And he noted that pretty much everything in his store is manufactured in China, whether it be bikes or bike accessories, and that there would be a shift. Before I get your comment on that, I want to reach out to our listeners. With our limited time left, I want to reach out to any listeners who've noticed price differences because of the escalating tariffs. Perhaps you've noticed it in household prices. Perhaps you're a business owner in Iowa, like Ryan Baker, in a different sort of business. How are the tariffs impacting you? We'd like to hear from you. 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org is our email. So we can hear in Ryan's response, and you said this was common, that Trek absorbed some of these, was evidently in a position to absorb some of these price hikes, the tariffs, but others would pass it on. But now Trek is evidently trying to find other countries to manufacture in, not the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's what we get when that happens. Now what's going on with Trek is Trek's trying to find an alternative, safer supplier, manufacturer. They're also, in so doing, imposing additional costs themselves on the production process, because what we're assuming then it is less efficient to be producing in Cambodia or wherever else they choose to produce. So when we add together the costs, and I have some numbers here that were produced by the New York Federal Reserve, when we add together the cost to the average household in the United States associated with tariffs, it came out to about $415 for the 2018 tariffs. Now, if I break it down, I have two pieces. $282 of that is basically a tax increase. That's yours and my tariff cost. $132 of that is what's called deadweight loss. And the deadweight loss is just a measurement of how much more inefficient is it to produce a product, and that cost of inefficiency is being passed on to producers. So we have two things going on. We have the penalty to production in China that we're having to pay for, and then we have the penalty in the form of economic efficiency, in that things are being made less efficiently, not in the ideal locations. Mm. Now, if the tariffs increase 15% for this year, those costs go from $414 per household up to $831. So that's where I talked about, now we're expanding these tariffs into the categories of spending that most people can't avoid in one form or another.
And we'll notice. I wonder if they will notice it in a way that they attribute it to what it is rather than just rising prices.
You know what? It's going to be ubiquitous. That's a good word. It's going to be across the board on so many items. We're just going to simply notice that prices have gone up.
Mm-hmm. We have about 4 minutes until we take a break here, Dave, and you'll be with us in our second half hour as well after I talk with a representative of Fairway Food Stores. But you've been looking at manufacturing in Iowa, and this will surprise many listeners, perhaps, that manufacturing is a huge sector in Iowa, larger than ag.
Yes, it is. It's much larger than ag in terms of direct employment. The tariffs were initially, we had the aluminum and the steel tariffs were imposed, 25% on steel, 15% on aluminum, and those tariffs affected everybody who supplied those two commodities to the United States. And in Iowa, and you want to think about it in terms of scale, we had about 7,400 jobs in that primary metal category, either producing either, you know, steel products or aluminum products, the primary metals. But we have about 75,000 people working in industries that use metal products, whether they source it from Iowa or not. We have, you know, 22,000 that work in fabricated metals. We have another 41,000 that work in machinery manufacturing, and another 11,000 plus that work in motor vehicle bodies and trailers. Everything there is a steel product. So the imposition of the tariffs on the primary metals, especially steel and aluminum, immediately had an effect on all of those major users of steel, which constitute a huge fraction of Iowa's manufacturing sector. So we did some analysis of this at Iowa State University, and if we have time, I'll get through it. It'd just take a second.
Yeah, we do. We have a couple minutes before the break. Go ahead.
Well, a team of us at Iowa State University looked at early on in this tariff war last fall, what would be the consequences to the state's economy. And one of the analyses that was done looked at the effect on the state's what we call gross state product or gross domestic product by industrial sector. And in the more favorable scenario where some of that tariff tax money came back into the state of Iowa in one form or another, of course, agriculture gets hit the hardest. But if we look at manufacturing, the modeling estimated that the primary metals sector in Iowa would grow by about $18 million worth of gross domestic product. But all of the rest of manufacturing would lose about $150 million worth of output or the value of what they're producing. And so we have basically one step forward and three steps back with regard to how it affects Iowa's industries.
Mm-hmm. We have a minute or so before the break. What other analysis did you do that would be interesting to us as consumers or those who work for manufacturers here in Iowa?
Sure. Well, of course, and this is it's always in flux. But of course, the big losers were the pork producing sector, the soybean sector, a little bit less so the corn sector, and of course, ethanol were the industries that were strongly negative affected. It basically about 2/3 of the costs of the tariffs and the tariff reactions accumulate to the ag sector, and then the other third is going to accumulate to the manufacturing sectors in Iowa. Now, if you think about this, though, everything that everybody uses in everything that these major industries are using is oftentimes metal-based. And so you've really broadly increased their cost exposure and the fluctuations in the costs associated with this tariff.
Mm-hmm. Norm is in Iowa City. Norm, welcome to the program. You're listening. I can only give you 30 seconds before our break, but I understand you're a business owner. How have you been impacted?
Heavily. I have imported everything pretty much from China. My products are using commercial industrial lawn equipment and trailering. I've got tariffs of $10,000 so far that I've just absorbed as hard as it is, but I'll have to raise prices next year.
Mm. Norm in Iowa City, thank you for your view. We're looking at how the trade war is impacting us as consumers, but also as manufacturers, our manufacturing sector here in Iowa. Dave Swenson is going to stay put there in our Ames studio, economist at Iowa State University. When we come back, we'll have Dave, but also in addition, we'll be listening to a conversation I had recently with Garrett Picklap. He's a senior vice president with Fairway Stores. We'll see what the impact has been on our fruits or vegetables, all the things we buy at a supermarket. And I think you'll find his analysis surprising. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th. Spectators can find event info such as start times, race routes, and where to watch, as well as volunteer opportunities at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This hour, looking at how the trade war is impacting us as consumers, also manufacturing here in Iowa. We heard from a bike shop owner in the first half hour to see how they are reacting to it, being as all the bikes, most of the accessories there produced in China. ISU economist Dave Swenson is with us in the Ames studio. We'll be back with him in just a moment. We'd like to hear from you if you've noticed prices escalating because of the tariffs, because of the trade war. Perhaps a business owner, we had one in the first half hour. Perhaps you're a business owner. How are these tariffs impacting you? 1-866-780-9100. Before we go back to Dave Swenson, let's listen to this conversation I had a few days ago with the Senior Vice President, Secretary, and General Counsel of Fairway Stores, Inc., Garrett Picklap. I spoke with him a few days ago. Garrett, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Start off by answering the question, broadly speaking, what are the ways in which
this trade war has impacted Fairway's business. What have been the challenges?
We've seen it on two primary fronts, one that I would say faces our customers and one that does not. The obvious one that faces our customers is in our commodities, certain proteins and certain produce items. We've seen the current trade war or tariff war impact the commodity pricing and therefore the demand following the pricing, and therefore there's a lack of demand in the quality because of the large amount of products still available. But then maybe the one that's a little less obvious is we've also seen it in some of our non-customer-facing areas like electronics and things that we're doing to improve or update our stores, our corporate campus, all of our infrastructure at any given time. So it's affecting both of those areas in different ways.
Okay, let's take the first category that you mentioned there, the commodities and the produce. Give us some examples of commodities that have been impacted and how much.
Yeah, that's a good question. So the first one is in the protein. We've seen it affect the pork industry one of the factors that has affected the pork industry. Unquestionably, China is still the number one consumer in pork in the world, and when the amount that we're exporting to China decreases, then it's going to affect that industry. There are also other factors affecting that industry, like ASF, which is the swine flu, and other factors. But without a doubt, the pork industry is seeing some instability as a result of our current situation with China.
Mm-hmm. Just to further clarify, of course, a lot of Iowa pork producers are producing for the Chinese market, and now we have a glut of pork, and it's driving down pork prices at Fairways, for example.
Pork, the pricing on pork has decreased at some level, but that's due to a lot of the instability that's in that market, in that category. Well, one of the ones is you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Pork, what you call proteins. What else? Talk about produce, because not too long ago on this program, I spoke with an Iowa apple grower. Who had lost tens of thousands of dollars because of an indirect impact of this trade war. In short, Washington State couldn't sell its apples abroad out of the country this season, so they were dumped very cheaply on the domestic market. This destroyed the prices for this Iowa apple grower and the local apple grower's usual market. Similar things happening that you can see that are tied to Fairway?
Yeah, Ben, you just kind of summed it up nicely. We've had certain suppliers expected to move a certain amount of product to China within the last year, and because of this tariff or this trade war, that expectation has frankly gone to zero or been reduced greatly. Because of that, then they have a large amount of product that they need to move, or an overabundance amount of, in this case, what you just talked about, fruit, that they need to move quickly. So the benefit of that is that the customer is likely going to see a decrease in the price in this specific example, but ultimately when there's too much and a reduction in price, if you don't move it, it's going to face quality issues very, very soon in this category, because you and I both know that produce doesn't last forever. So there's a short window in there.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the other category you mentioned, electronics. You were, of course, as any business, keeping up with the times, you're having to steadily increase investment in whatever things you find at the cashiers or back of the store. Tell us about how the trade war has impacted that.
Yeah, we just did a most recent example. We are always, to your point, updating our customer experience. In-store, point of sale, in-store, we have monitors. We have electronics. We have printers. We have lots of computer equipment, things that maybe the customer doesn't face every day when they walk into a Fairway store. But some of these electronics are purchased from China. And most recently, we were faced with having to buy a large number of, in this specific example, printers. And because of the tariffs, there was going to be a large amount of a large increase on the price of the printers, And that is a direct result of what we're seeing with our current disagreement with China.
Mm-hmm. Back to the consumer's experience, the shopper's experience at Fairway. Are there items because of this trade war that are no longer carried on Fairway shelves?
That's a good question. I'm not aware of any. I'm not aware of any.
Okay. Have you had to, for instance, turn to different suppliers to get more or less the same product because of this trade war?
Specifically, none come to mind, but I would just say as a general standard practice, we're always examining having backup suppliers or backup product if there are pricing issues or quality issues or whatever the issue may be.
Mm-hmm. When did these challenges start to surface? Of course, the first tariffs announced by the president go way back to early 2018. When did it start to really impact you in Fairway's business?
Yeah, you nailed the general time frame. I would say shortly after the July 2018 initial announcement of the tariff, I would say we started feeling the effects of summarily what I just talked about shortly thereafter. And then, of course, depending on the nature of each announcement of what tariff on what product was occurring, then that would probably affect that industry or that category a little more between July 2018 to in the last few weeks, frankly.
Mm-hmm. What is it like in the discussions in the upper management, a part of which you are at Fairway Inc.? I imagine the discussion about this trade war must be a part of everyday discussion now.
It is. It's a part of our general everyday discussions on how we make sure that we are doing the best to serve the customer. And in this specific situation, when we talk about that experience, it's driven primarily about the protein and the consumer-facing issues that are stemming from this trade war, and then, of course, what we're doing to make sure that we are being responsible with our investments and updating the customer experience, or in the example I gave you, the printers or the electronics, and making sure that we're doing what we can to not disrupt the customer experience or continue to update and better the customer experience without them maybe having an insight to all of these factors that are going on.
Mm-hmm. Two scenarios going forward, Garrett. One, this trade war continues on into the future, or it ends tomorrow or next week or next month, whatever. What are Fairway's plans going forward? What are your discussions if this trade war continues indefinitely?
We are making sure that we have a good plan in place to have an open dialogue with our current suppliers and backup suppliers in some of the categories that we've talked about to make sure that we always have access to high-quality product at a reasonable price for our customer. And then so that's the plan going forward on the items that the customer will see. And then as the back end, as the printers or the electronics or the in-store customer experience, call it non-commodity situation that we're talking about, I would say that we're examining similarly all of our options with where can we source printers or monitors or wherever to make sure that we're continuing to invest in our stores, to continue to make sure that we're investing in the customer experience with or without the trade war.
Mm-hmm. Is there a way to talk about how prices have increased at Fairway for your average consumer? Do you measure this? Do you have this metric, a bag or two of groceries, how much that might have increased percentage-wise because of this trade war?
I would say we generally do, but it's hard given how constantly prices fluctuate on lots of commodities, not just the ones that you and I have talked about. There's also, as a result of this, likely been a decrease, to the consumer at least, a decrease in the price of commodities in certain areas because of the overabundance of fruit or whatever the example may be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take the other scenario going forward. The trade war ends in the very near future. Do you at Fairway expect things to snap back to the way they were before, or have relationships been altered, been changed for the long term?
I would say specifically to Fairway and the relationship with our farmers and our suppliers, we have such a strong relationship with them that we don't feel as though our relationship has been altered. If it's not this, it's something else or something else or something else. I think the old saying is that the only constant variable, I guess it's scientifically proven that the only constant variable in this world is change. Mm-hmm. Things are changing all of the time, and this is just another hurdle that we will make sure that our good suppliers and us get over.
Right. Can you identify an impact on your overall bottom line, though?
I would say generally no. For purposes of this discussion, no.
Mm. Okay, that means that you might want to just hold that to your vest.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
you're entitled to that. Okay. Let me ask you about any interaction that Fairway has had with elected officials. Do you get in touch with members of Congress to express your wishes here going forward on this trade issue?
Certainly. Yeah, we have a great relationship with our elected officials, and we have talked to them about our concerns about not addressing this issue or these issues that we've talked about, and the need to continue to support our farmers and to support our suppliers. And they have had an open door and seem to be have a willingness to listen. Now, I guess the long-term effect of whether they're listening or not is proof's in the pudding, right? Whether mm-hmm. something gets done.
All right. And finally, on a related issue to trade, Fairway, I understand, is among a group of businesses who have called on Iowa's congressional delegation to adopt the USMC trade agreement last week. This is the new trade agreement with Canada and Mexico. Why is adopting that important for Fairway?
I think it's important for a couple different reasons. One, I think as the letter states that we think adopting that trade agreement helps continue to support a strong economy, and we think that this agreement does that. I think we also mentioned in the letter that we feel like you're talking about the USMCA, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We feel like it'll help stabilize the market. We also feel like as a result of that stability that it'll boost the economic output. And then, of course, there's a trickle-down effect, lift wages, arguably does some other things. So we think, by and large, though, if I can sum it up, it will add stability to a lot of instability with our farmers, and we think that that's a good first step.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps a final question going to your personal experience. Garrett Picklap, has this been a stressful and especially stressful time since the impact of the trade war for you and other senior management at Fairway, or is this kind of the run of the mill? This is what happens in the grocery business.
I would say, without maybe being too jaded, it's run of the mill, and I'm not at all being flippant or minimizing the impact to our local farmers. I can't stress enough that it's a very fast-paced industry that's tackling a large number of issues at any given time, and this is one of them that we're tackling today.
Right. This is the roller coaster you ride usually.
That's right.
Okay. Garrett Picklap is Senior Vice President, Secretary, and General Counsel of Fairway Stores, Inc. Fairway has 122 stores in 5 states, including Iowa. Garrett, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
That conversation from a few days ago. Thanks again to Garrett Picklap. Back with Dave Swenson, economist at Iowa State University, to finish up our hour examining how the trade war is impacting consumers. There we were visiting the grocery store, so to speak, Dave Swenson. What jumped out at you about that conversation?
Well, what jumped out at me is that what's good for the consumer is not necessarily good for the producer, and we already know that. If, for example, because of China's retaliation against the U.S. tariffs initially affected nuts and fruit exports, which primarily affected producers in California and Washington State, places like that. They then expanded into soybeans, limited their pork imports, all of those. Again, they're specifically targeted. So the tariffs have disproportionate impacts on specific categories of agricultural production in a state like in the United States, and then ultimately affecting consumers here in Iowa, because as was mentioned, we end up with an oversupply. prices, food prices don't go up. But again, what's good for a consumer is oftentimes bad for producers. And what's been bad for producers has come on top of 4 years worth of deteriorating bottom lines for agricultural producers in the United States, and especially farmers in the Midwest. So we often say when we make presentations, these tariffs, in terms of their affecting agriculture, have made a bad situation significantly worse.
Mm-hmm. So when we hear these different stories from Fairway, from a bike producer, from an apple grower here in Iowa, I mean, what do you sense as the mood out there of, are a lot of these in a holding pattern, or are they trying to just control damage at this point? You can't really do long-term planning in this situation, can you?
Well, you can't, but you're going to make some decisions. If you're a producer of any kind of commodity that's affected by the tariffs, if you're having trouble moving your product, you start to make decisions as to what you're going to produce, how much you're going to produce. You're forced to make decisions, and you're going to look at whatever the next best alternative is if you have any kind of freedom at all. So you're going to have disruptions in supply. You're going to have disruptions in the mix of commodities that may be produced in any given year and are available. And so there's going to be ups and downs. We also are going to get more inefficiencies introduced into production processes. Think about this. Every part that you need to replace may have been made in China. You know, all of the aftermarket parts, all kinds of inputs into just everyday living, whether you have to replace a ceiling fan or you have to replace your refrigerator or you have to replace the tiles on the floor of your house, all manner of thing that we use either at the household level and or at the commercial and industrial level oftentimes has some kind of Chinese input. And these tariffs are affecting all of these categories. So the effects are somewhat insidious because they creep up on us. You don't realize it until you have to spend money. You didn't realize it until you went and started shopping for a bike. Perhaps you were somewhat indifferent to the effects of the tariffs on your bottom line, your household well-being. And I think that's the way it is for most customers. But you had your caller call in and he said, you know, I just had a $10,000 extra cost that I'm having to eat because I can't pass that on. And we also have a big mix of producers here of all manner of services or commodities that are having to live with that reality. It's really important to say this is that, and the tariffs are a tax that we pay, period.
Right.
And we're stuck with the bill until this thing ends.
Okay, that's the dark side of it. But if there is a little light side or glimmer, maybe just in the short term. Are there any specific tips you can give us about which products to buy now? I mean, we had an apple glut, or we have had or will have a glut in certain things because some of our producers just cannot get them to their Chinese market, for instance.
Yeah, and no, I don't have a specific item. One of my colleagues a year ago when asked the very same question, he says, you know, buy a lot of hams and throw them in the freezer because they're going to be cheap. And well, but that's the truth. But you and I, most of us, live on a monthly basis, and our ability to anticipate price increases and or decreases and then act accordingly is roughly equal to our ability to anticipate the stock market. And most of us are really bad at that. At least I am.
Yeah.
So I don't have advice. You know, I guess there's a soothing part of this. We've been living in a period, irrespective of these tariffs, of relatively low inflation. The year-over-year inflation right now rate is 1.7%. And for food, it's just 0.5%. So across a lot of categories, even though we have these tariffs and we're having to absorb these costs in society, in business, in our households, we still are at a time of relatively low inflation, and the tariffs are making some things worse, but overall, our costs of living are not rising out of control.
Right. 30 seconds. Can you tell us what's on your mind when you look into the future possible scenarios over the next few months, next year, leading up to the 2020 election?
Oh, boy, I don't see any evidence that these antagonisms are going to decrease right now. Of course, there's been kind of a truce called until Thanksgiving or so with regard to expansion of American, the category that the U.S. was going to impose. But I don't see a resolution of this the way things are basically being discussed right now. So I'm pessimistic.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there, unfortunately. Dave Swenson, economist at Iowa State University, you've been very valuable tying this all together, making sense of it with your analysis. Dave, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
River to River is produced by Caitlin Harrop, Rick Brewer, and Matt Alvarez. Also help today from Tony Daner at our Cedar Falls studio. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Tomorrow on the program, of course, a News Buzz edition. Governor Kim Reynolds, perhaps you heard, declared this Saturday, the 28th, Carson King Day. We'll hear about that on the program tomorrow. Hope you'll tune in for a News Buzz edition. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.